This morning, God's Word comes to us from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. And we're going to read just the verses 3 through 6 of this chapter. Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 3. What we hear now is God's Word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Here we are in the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of the Trinity Psalter hymnal to page 894 in the back section. And on the second column there, we have Lord's Day 46. From page 894, Lord's Day 46, we'll read together questions 120 and 121. I will ask the question, we'll respond together with the answer. Question 120, why has Christ commanded us to address God as our Father? To awaken in us at the very beginning of our prayer what should be basic to our prayer, a childlike reverence and trust that through Christ God has become our Father and will much less refuse to give us what we ask in faith than will our parents refuse us the things of this life. Question 121, why the words, who is in heaven? These words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty in an earthly way and to expect from His almighty power everything needed for body and soul. Well, we are beginning that last topic that is covered in the Heidelberg Catechism on the basic truths of the Christian faith, beginning to talk about the Lord's Prayer. And I always find it helpful at the beginning of a topic like this to try to get the big picture, try to get the structure of what's going on. We did that with regard to the Apostles' Creed. We saw that the Creed is structured according to the Trinity. God the Father in our creation, God the Son, our redemption, God the Holy Spirit, and our sanctification. It's a Trinitarian creed. We saw the structure when we looked at the Ten Commandments. Two tables of the law. The first dealing primarily with our relationship to God, and the second dealing primarily with our relationship to our neighbor. Well, there is structure in the Lord's Prayer as well. It is a prayer that contains two big parts to it. The Lord's Prayer contains six petitions, but they are grouped in a first group of three and a second group of three, two big parts. The first three petitions on behalf of God and for His glory, prayers for His name, prayers for His kingdom, prayers for His will. And the second big part of the prayer, those second three petitions, on our behalf, that God would provide for our physical needs, give us this day our daily bread, that He would forgive us our sins, and He would keep us from temptation. Two sets of petitions with three petitions each. These are introduced to us with an introduction and address, and then the conclusion as well. This morning we look at the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, the address to the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven. Now you know, it's not my regular practice to preach what I call the Hallmark holidays, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Secretary's Day. But in God's good providence, on this Father's Day, we are dealing with the fact that God is our Father. So make a note to yourself, this is your Father's Day sermon for this decade. As we begin to think about our Father in heaven, we are reminded that we are praying to the one true God, the Almighty God, the all-powerful God, but the God who is our Father for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the wonderful care and concern that He has for His children. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, He said, address God as our Father. Now, Jesus could have highlighted any one of God's attributes. Jesus could have said, and when you pray, pray like this, Almighty God. For God truly is almighty. He is all-powerful. He can do everything in accordance with His own will. The almighty, powerful nature of God. Jesus could have taught us to pray that way. He could have said, and when you pray, pray, O Eternal One. For that is true. God always is. Imagine that, children. God always is. There was a time before I was. There was a time before your parents were. But God has always been. He is eternal. It is hard for us to get our minds around that. Jesus could have said, pray, O incomprehensible one, for truly God is beyond our understanding. We know something of how He has revealed Himself to us, but we do not understand God in His fullness. Beyond what we can comprehend. Jesus could have said, pray, O omnipresent one, the God who is always with us, or immutable one, the God who never changes. He does not. He does not say when you pray, begin with talking about God's attributes. He doesn't say, begin by remembering God's actions. He doesn't say, and when you pray, say this, dear Creator God. Now, it's true. God is the creator of all. God made everything that we see around us, all the beauty of creation, the grass and the trees and the rocks and the mountains and the water and everything. God made it all. But Jesus doesn't say, address Him as creator. Doesn't say address Him as provider, and certainly God is our provider. Day after day, He provides for everything He has created. He provides for us. He is the Jehovah Jireh, the one who meets our needs perfectly. Certainly, Jesus could have said, and when you pray to God, address Him as the Redeemer. Our deepest need, forgiveness of our sins. Jesus doesn't begin by highlighting God's attributes. He doesn't begin by highlighting God's actions. But He says, when you pray, say this, our Father. And He reminds us of that special relationship that we have with God. Now, by calling us to pray our Father, He is not ignoring all of these other things. The fact that we call God Father doesn't ignore all of His attributes, doesn't ignore all of His actions. They are included in that. But it highlights His relationship with us. This almighty, glorious, omnipotent Creator, Redeemer is our Father. Kids, most people call me Reverend Niemeyer. That means I have a particular calling, a particular office that I hold. I've been ordained to do particular things. They refer to me as Reverend Niemeyer. Now, do you think that when my kids talk to me, when I got text messages this morning for Father's Day, that they said, Happy Father's Day, Reverend Niemeyer? No. I'm their dad. I'm their father. That doesn't negate everything else. But it highlights the relationship that I have with them. When Jesus says, address God as our Father, it highlights the fact that God is a God who knows us. God is a God who is in fellowship with us. It's an intimate talk with our Father. Our confession from question 120. Why has Christ commanded us to address God as our Father? To awaken in us, at the very beginning of our prayer, what should be basic to our prayer? A childlike reverence and trust that through Christ, God has become our Father. To awaken a childlike reverence and trust. We don't pray to a God who is far off. We don't pray to a God who is disconnected to us, but we talk to God as a child talks to their father. We are children of God, the apostle says. That is what we are. Paul, as he's going to teach and write the Ephesians, begins this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Beginning with reminding us God is a Father to His Son Jesus Christ, and because of that, He is a Father to us as well. We are His children through His Son Jesus Christ. That special connection. When you pray, say, Father. That relationship, that gift of being a child of God comes because of who God is, not because of who we are. Again, from Paul's letter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Even as He chose us. The fact that we can call God our Father is due to Him, not due to us. It was His choice to make us His children, not our choice somehow seeking after Him. God came to us first. He is the one who initiated the relationship. He is the one who chose us to be His own. In many ways, our spiritual birth is like our physical birth. We did not choose to be born. We did not choose the day and the time. In our spiritual birth, we did not choose to be born. God came to us. God chose us. God made us His own. So to Him belongs all the glory and the praise that we are now children of God, calling Him our Father. Again, Paul says, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. It couldn't have been our choice. We were chosen by God to be His children before we were born. In fact, we were chosen by God to be His children before the world was born. We did not make that choice. God made that choice to call us as His children. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He chose us to be His own. What a glorious gift. What a gracious privilege to be determined by God that we should be His. Paul says, in love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the beloved. The praise, the adoration, the glory goes to God that He, in His love, chose to be our Father. And he does that through his Son, Jesus Christ. We in him are adopted as sons and daughters. When we speak about the fatherhood of God, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, we are not talking about some general, generic fatherhood of God over all creation, that God, as author of all things, is also father of all things. No, we're talking about a special, loving, gracious relationship that God has brought us into. We did not choose him, he chose us. The Lord's Prayer is a Christian prayer to say, our Father, is to recognize what God has done and what God continues to do. He continues to bring people into fellowship with him. He continues through the gospel to grow his family. And so once again, this morning, that gospel is declared that if you are living outside of the family of God, today God calls you to leave that life. He calls you to embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, and to know God. Not as some generic father, but as your Father for the sake of the work of Jesus Christ. To know that God cares about you and loves you and will listen when you pray. Why do we call him our Father? God has become our Father and will much less refuse to give us what we ask in faith than our parents refuse to give us the things of this life. Our Father will listen when we pray. He will answer when we pray. He is a God who cares about us, his children. Oh, just one more thing about that address, our Father. Jesus didn't teach his disciples to pray, my Father. When you pray, say, my Father. No, when you pray, say, our Father. It recognizes that we have this gracious gift, this special relationship, not only with God as Father, but also with each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Our Father. This unites us together as believers. We have fellowship with him. We also have fellowship with each other. We are concerned for each other. We pray for each other. We care about each other. We encourage each other because we together are the family of God. We together have our Father to whom we pray. The address of the prayer, our Father in heaven. To remind us that God is not like us, only a little bit more. But God is beyond us. He's not simply an earthly Father, he is a heavenly Father. And again, from our confession, question 121, why the words, who is in heaven? These words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty in an earthly way and to expect from his almighty power everything needed for body and soul. It reminds us our Father is in heaven and our Father is sufficient to meet all of our needs. Today, we think about the human fathers God has given to us, and as wonderful as our fathers may be, our fathers cannot do everything. There are things that we as fathers simply cannot do for our children. We are unable to provide for them in some ways. That is never the case with our Father in heaven. God knows what we need. And God is able to provide for each and every one of those needs. All of our needs physically, all of our needs spiritually. Oh, he uses means to provide for us. He provides for us spiritually through a regular daily intake of His holy word, hearing Him speak to us in that word. That word which highlights what He has done for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. He provides for us spiritually by Lord's Day after Lord's Day, calling us together as His family, calling us together around that word to hear the declaration of what God has done for us again and again and again. He uses the means of His word to grow us in our faith, to encourage us in our walk with Him, to provide for our spiritual needs. A Father who is in heaven, a Father who is not earthly. When we consider God as our heavenly Father, it gives us both a sense of humility and a sense of confidence. Humility, because we are not approaching an equal. We are not even approaching our human Father, but we are approaching the Almighty God, the all-powerful, the omnipotent, the eternal. We are approaching Him, and so we do so humbly as we come into His presence, humbly as we pray to Him, humbly because He is in heaven, but also confidently because He is in heaven. His heavenly power can never be thwarted. He will accomplish all of His purposes for each and every one of His children. He will provide for all of the needs of each and every one of His children because He is our Father in heaven. This is how we are to pray. Jesus says, when you pray, say, "Our Father in heaven," reminding us of not only His grandeur and His majesty, but reminding us of the relationship into which He has brought us, a father-child relationship, and then give us humility and give us confidence as we pray to Him for everything we need physically, everything we need spiritually, knowing He will hear our prayers for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ, all the spiritual blessings given to us because God is our Father. Let's join together in prayer. Great, eternal, holy God, our Father, what a joy to begin our prayer that way, that we speak to You as children to a Father. Lord God, thank You for Your fatherhood. Thank You that You have, for Your good purposes and in love, chosen to make us Your children for the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ. May we never cease to awe at what You have done for us. Lord God, give us humility as we pray to You, but give us confidence as we pray to You, knowing that for the sake of Your Son, You will hear all of our prayers and You will answer all of our prayers in the best way possible. Encourage us, O God, great Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.